Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you know the presence of God is very strong in this place. And I pray that it never diminishes in our lives, amen.
In the name of Jesus.
And that we go from glory to glory.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I have some key things I want to share with you this morning. And I pray that you will hear both with your spiritual ears and your physical ears. First, as a way of thanksgiving, it's good to see our David here. As a way of thanksgiving, I want to start this way. It's a way of appreciation to every one of you. God is so big that the only way to understand Him is to read the Bible. This is the only way you will understand God. If you try to imagine Him, it's too big. Amen?
Amen.
So out of the word of the Lord, understanding is given. Amen?
Amen.
So, the children of Israel, for about 400 years after the prophet Malachi, the last prophet of Israel, prepared the nation for the coming of the Messiah, for the coming of a deliverer. All the prophets talks about Him in one way or the other. And finally, He was born in Bethlehem. Amen?
Amen?
In a few weeks now, the whole world will be celebrating something that is deeper than human understanding. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Because that's where the prophet said He would be born. When Jesus was born, now I hope you understand this. This is the creator of the universe. This is the maker of the galaxies. This is the one that put the whole human race on the face of the earth. This is the one that has no end and no beginning. Wanted to manifest in the world that He created, ended up in a manger. Now, the very night, that night He was born, angels came from heaven to celebrate it. And they were able to celebrate it with some people that were staying up night, shepherds. And they told them, today, unto us, this good news has come. Amen?
Amen.
So they announced this good news to the shepherds, and the shepherds were excited, and they went and they found it even as the angels told them. Now, I want you to understand this. That moment was a breaking news that a Messiah has been born. But do you know what happened? And do you know why people would not believe it? Because he was in a manger. And two, it doesn't make sense that of all the big and beautiful buildings and all the inns and everywhere, God did not find a place to give birth to his son. There was no room. But by the Spirit, God was able to break the news to some people, and they went and they saw it. Amen?
Amen.
The first thing I want to share with you, I have three things this morning. The first is good news. They were able to take that good news and they shared it with the shepherds, and the shepherds shared it. Now, the people for whom the child was born, they did not know he was born. Amen?
Amen.
2 years about down the road, three wise men came from the east. And they came and saw the child, not this time in the manger. They saw the child in the house. Amen?
Amen.
So there's a movement from the manger to the house. There's always a movement from where something is born to where it can be taken care of and nurtured and grow. Now, another news, that's why God is so big, was about Jesus himself. As Jesus was ministering, before he stepped into his ministry, the Bible says he came to be baptized by John. Amen?
Amen.
And as he was being baptized, the Bible says the heaven opened. And the Spirit of the Lord, like a dove, rested on him. And they heard a voice. Some said it thundered. This is my beloved son in whom I well pleased. Jesus was commissioned with an open heaven. An open heaven is not words, it's the release of something. It's the manifestation of something from heaven. It can be anointing, it can be faith, whatever. It is God opening the windows or the doors of heaven, or the portals, as the Bible calls it, both in Greek and Hebrew, opens it up to release something. So the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, and the first thing that happened after that was he was led into the wilderness for 40 days to be tested, tried. And then after that, one thing after the other, if you read the Gospels and John, before finally, who knows how long it took, they went to the wedding at Cana, and people started seeing gradually the signs of what happened since baptism. Now, when he was baptized, when this happened, nobody saw it except John. And the reason John saw it is because God revealed to John that the one on whom you see the Spirit descend, that's the one. And so John saw it, and John was able to declare the good news that, yes, behold the Lamb of God that has come to take away the sins of the world. John declared that news. The shepherd declared the news of the birth of Jesus. Something that people have been expecting and waiting for God to move, for God to intervene. Amen?
Amen.
You have to see this. Either by angels or by the spirit or by dream, it has to be revealed. Because it is hard to believe that is happening. Amen?
Amen.
Another one in this category of good news is Jesus at the end of his earthly ministry about to begin a new dispensation, about to give part to the move of the ecclesia, the church of God. He told his disciples his time in the flesh has come to an end. But they did not understand that the end of the flesh is the beginning of the spirit. And to many, that was the end of his ministry, the end of his life. So they were depressed, they were confused, they were completely disillusioned. So when the process began, they all ran away. Now, when Jesus died, like he told them, he promised them that on the third day, this move of God will start. And he called it resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
So in their mind, listen, you have to be very, very, you have to put yourself in their shoes. Because these things happen to us all the time, but we always read the Bible without putting ourselves there. They were human beings. Jesus says he will die, he will raise again the third day. So, what is their best impression of resurrection? The people they saw Jesus raise from the dead. When Jesus raised them from the dead, they went back home, they were still the same people, like Lazarus. After about 4 days, he raised Lazarus from the dead. They saw Lazarus, amen?
Amen.
Lazarus went back home, they saw him. So when he says he will rise again the third day, they expect to see Jesus the way he used to be. They expect to go home and find him. They expect him to be roaming around just like he did. But he's risen from the dead for them to believe he actually will rise on the third day. But there are people who have come to know him. There are people who have come to know him by the Spirit and they've come to believe him. And one of them was a bunch of passionate women led by Mary Magdalene. They believed it so early in the morning while the disciples were hiding, going, they went early to the grave where they buried him. Because they believed, he said he will rise on the third day, he will rise on the third day. Amen? So they ran to that place and they did not find his body and they were consigned. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus, they were the first people the resurrected Christ appeared to. And he told them, go share this good news. You're the first to see and experience this. Because I've not yet gone to my Father. Go and tell my disciples it has happened. A new day is born. The head of the church has appeared. And their body will follow later. So they went, told his disciples. Some of them didn't believe, but they ran. Peter and John ran to the grave to see. Amen?
Amen.
So the point is, people were expecting things so physical, but it manifested physically but spiritually. And the whole Jewish nation, a lot of the people, were still waiting for Jesus to rise from the dead. He appeared to so many people, up to 500 people in the period of 40 days. And even to the disciples. So the disciples started experiencing this move of God that was hidden from a lot of people. And then at the 40th day, Jesus told them, now you go wait and receive the baton for what God is doing. The Spirit will come upon you and the power is extended to you. And the church will go from there. So this happened, we call it Pentecost, happened, and these people started. That's when more people started getting born again, and from that time, the resurrection was the main preaching of the gospel, that Jesus rose from the dead, convincing everybody, the Jews, it was hard to convince them, except by demonstration of miracles and power, that this man you see today is risen, is walking, because of the Jesus whom you crucified and he rose on the third day. So every preaching was to convince the Jews and the people that Jesus actually rose from the dead. God is so big. And when he begins to do things, he begins in the spirit and he begins to see it manifest. And that's why you cannot contain him with human wisdom. Amen? So the first thing, these three examples I gave to you, was first to begin today with good news. Just like the shepherd must have told people, and maybe many didn't believe, just like Mary and Magdalene and the rest told them, we've seen him. And just like John the Baptist told them, behold the Lamb, many did not believe. But they were speaking of the things they experienced and they saw. Amen?
Amen.
So, among the three things I want to share with you, this first one is, I want to announce to Mount Zion, today is the 55th day of the tent sitting there. I want to announce to you that we truly have an open heaven.
Amen.
An open heaven is not atmosphere. It's a manifestation of promise.
Amen.
Let me put it this way. I want to announce to you that it's just because the word has been misused. Revival is here.
Amen.
And then let me finally put it this way before we move on. About 30 years ago, I came to America, like most people. I've told you all the story over and over. Studied engineering and things went. I was here. And the Lord opened the door for me to be in Cleveland. And I had an awakening in a conference through the spirit of prophecy, gave my life to God, experienced God. From that night, that was September, the Lord just spoke to my spirit and says, I want you to come and spend time in my presence. And I have not done that before. I've never, but I was so on fire in my spirit after that born again experience. And I started, the Lord said, start spending the night. So I started spending all night prayer. As I was about to attend the Bible school, I would go into this office. I would go in at 12 midnight. I would come out around 6 a.m. Sometimes, of course, I don't pray all through the night. Sometimes I fall asleep sometimes. Whichever way, but it was the time I committed to be there. I'll do that. I'll come out, sleep a little bit, get ready, and then go about my daily business. It started in September after that born again experience. And December 17th, 1991, it's about 30 years this year, I went in, as always, to just go there and pray. I just started praying in tongues. So I prayed in tongues almost through the night. I ran out of English. I pray, fall asleep, wake up, pray. Once it's 6, I leave. I went into prayer as always. And I'm sure that if you've known me for how many years, you must have heard this. Because that's my life. And I went in there and I was met with a surprise. I had an unusual visitation. And that, all I can say about the visitation was, there was no difference from what we read in the book of Acts. Mind you, I'm just born again, so it was too much experience for me. I got afraid and I left that room eventually to my bedroom. I got to my bedroom, it continued. The glory and the presence of God. While I was sitting there, going through this experience, wondering, is this still a reality that God can visit people like this? The Lord spoke to me the first time, probably I heard a still small voice, but very clear. It says, get your Bible. I sat up on my bed. The Bible was on the dresser. I picked up the Bible. And the moment my hand picked up the Bible, I went into a trance, a vision. And that was where God revealed so much to me. And that's where, if you hear in the Bible, they say, this person was called of God. That's where I received the calling. And the Lord shared so much with me and showed me something about the future. And ever since then, the Lord says, if you will pray, if you will follow the guidelines he gave, and the number one was prayer, you know, and the consecration that he gave, he said, you will see it. And some of the things that he shared, after many years, I put in that Watchman book. Why did I go back to that story, December 17, 1991? Because this good news, these first three things I share with you, is because these 55 days that we waited on the Lord, I have spent literally after 7 years after Bible school and then 7 years of fasting and prayer waiting on the Lord and doing so many things. After then, it's almost like every year of my life, I've asked God, when will I see? When will these things begin? And we've gone through all kinds of history. Amen.
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 This 55 days has taken December 17th to another level. And what I've been waiting for 10 years has started.
Amen.
That's the good news.
Amen.
I don't expect anybody to believe it. You have to see. You have to experience to understand. But if some people believe the shepherds, that the child was born, Mary, even the disciples, didn't believe Jesus was from the dead till they went to see. Even 11 people couldn't, 10 people couldn't convince Thomas that they have seen him. So, I understand when people don't really believe something has happened. They felt it, we've felt all kinds of things. But I'm just here to declare to you the good news. And you will see it. You will experience it. And you'll see where it's going. But I can tell you, none of us will be the same. What he showed to me 1991, 30 years ago, has nothing to do with just us. He showed me something that will affect America. He showed me something that will affect the church, all of us. That's what I'm talking about. It's not about just myself. It's an expectation people have been praying for a long time, waiting for a long time, waiting. That's what it has started. And I can share so much with you, but it's not necessary. But what I want to share next, two things left to share with you is, one, I want to share with you a secret. And then the last one, the third thing will be, I want to share a few testimonies with you, where we are. You can't wait on God 55 days today and want to transition and not give people understanding what is happening. So, the secret I want to share with you is a secret, but God is very interesting. Amen? We call it secret, but God has given it and written it plainly in this word. For as many as possible that we find the secret. Amen?
Amen.
It's a secret. But it's not a secret because it's written. And that secret is God. You have to ask for it. And then when he tells you about it, you have to seek for it before he will open up to you. After you knock. So it's a hidden treasure. You can't find it without digging for it. It's not on the surface. It's the mystery of life. And it's God himself. So, this secret has a key. Because there are three dimensions. Asking, seeking, and then knocking. And then after the door is open, finally the key is given to you. So you go in and out. Amen?
Amen.
You don't give the key to your innermost house to strangers. People visit you, sometimes you can allow them as much to your living room, your talking chat, but it's not everybody that goes into your innermost. So, this secret was revealed. And I want to read some scriptures to help us look at this second part. Isaiah 22:22 says, Isaiah saw it and prophesied about it. Isaiah 22:22 says, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulders, so he shall open and no man shut, and he will shut and no man can open. Amen?
Amen.
I want to read another scripture. Please, for time, you can take note of this. It's in Revelation chapter 3, I'll read from verse 7. Pay attention to this, because I want to show you the secret, and it will make sense to you very soon as we cover these three testimonies today. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, this thing says he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David. He that has the key of David. He that opens and no man shuts. And shuts and no man opens. God can give you everything you want, but not his glory. Not his presence. You have to pass through outer courts and holy place. You have to truly prove that you want him. He can bless you with his hands. He can do anything for you. He can prosper you. But for him to give you his heart, you have to want. He has made the provision by sacrificing his only son. So he says, I open no man can shut no. Then look at what he says. And this is the word from Mount Zion, from this, what we call open heaven. I know thy works. Behold, I set before thee an open door. Now what I said before is, I have opened a portal for you. I have opened a gate. I have opened a door. You have access to something everybody knows.
Yeah.
I have opened before you a door, and no man can shut. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews. In other words, these people, the religious people they are worshiping, says they are Christians and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before their feet, and to know that I have loved them, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation that will come on the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And it goes on and on. But the word is, I have set before you an open portal. That's in Greek. If you click that word. I'm the only one that has the key to do that. But it says I have the key of David. And I just read to you about the key of David. Amen?
Amen.
In Isaiah 22, 22. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, it's through the life of David and the lineage of David that Jesus came. He was a branch from David. Born into this world in the flesh, he needed to know. He needed to be like all of us. So, all through the Bible, he patterned his life after the life of David. Through the life of David, through this key. What is this key? This key is the secret of getting and living in God's heart. Only one man in the whole Bible before the New Testament, God himself testified and said, I have found me a man after my heart who will do my commandments. I don't know if you all understand God has a heart. It's not just his hands. He has a heart. And he said, among all the Jews, the people that God's people that God made himself available to, he found one man who purposed in his heart, I must find out what makes God happy. I must find out his heart. His agenda of his heart. What is he like? Who is he? And why is he making me part of his kingdom? A young man, we can go on and try to figure out how this happened. But let me share a few things for time. So that we can see why the Bible says, that God says, in the last days I will restore the fallen tabernacles of David. It's not talking about that curtain there. It's talking about a generation of people, Psalms 24 says, who will seek the face of the Lord. Who will seek after the heart of the Lord. So, the secret of this key is a lifestyle. And what is the lifestyle? I want to read it to you. Let's all look at this. Psalms 27. This is not words, it's a lifestyle. And it's a key. It's a key.
Key.
Psalms 27, 27:4 says, one thing, everybody say one thing.
One thing.
You don't need too many. It's the master key.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You can have a lot of keys, but there's somebody that has a master key. A master key opens all the doors. He says, one thing. One thing, that's the key. One thing have I desired of the Lord. that I will seek after. That word seek, if you all don't understand the word seek, David described the word seek in Psalms 42. He says, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul long for you. That illustration he used is the European deer, the Asian deer, is described the condition when it's in the desert and is looking for water. He says the deer will not find it, but the deer will survive smelling, looking for water and panting for it, and it will not die. The deer is strength God has put in that animal, that particular deer. He will be panting, sensing, creating a desperation until he finds a water brooks. A desperation that keeps you alive until you find life. He says, that's the way David described this one thing. Basically saying, I live for this one thing and I will die without if I don't find it. It is the priority of my life. You'll soon find out that one thing doesn't mean you don't do other things. But one thing becomes your goal. And what is your goal? I need to find God. Why am I here? To tell stories about God when he's my father? Stories. So he was purpose in his heart to find this heart of God. And this is how he described it. One thing that I seek after, that I may what? Dwell. Tabernacle. Live in the house of the Lord. What's God's house? How many of you have you seen God's house? Did you see anywhere they build a city as God's house? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To do what? To behold. Oh, Jesus. To behold the beauty of the Lord. And to listen. To pay attention to what is on his heart. And what he wants to say. And then he goes further to describe, for in the time of trouble, he will hide in his pavilion in the secret of his what? Tabernacle. Shall he what? Hide me. He will set me up upon a rock, and now shall my head be lifted above. So, this key, if you look at the churches in the book of Revelation, the seven churches, that's the only church Jesus says, I have the key. Meaning that church had the key. And God opened Paul model for the Church of Philadelphia. It's called the Church of Love. Amen?
Amen.
That church, if you look at all the churches, that's one church that was above deception. That was one church that was, if you look at the other seven churches, see what the devil has done to them. That church dwells in the secret place of the love of God. They were untouchable because a door has opened and they live behind the veil. So David found his place, and then we read about it, about David finding the heart of God. David discovered it, and we call it Psalms 91. You all know Psalm 91. We preach about it. We talk about it. It's a story to us, but it was a real place for David. Amen?
Amen.
It says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under his tabernacle. It says, when you are in that place, nothing spiritual and nothing physical. You go through trials, you go through tempting, you go through everything. But it says, like Jesus says, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Because you are in your Father's house. You can read the life of David. Nobody went through trials like him. It's like Job. David went through hard times. But he will tell you, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, though the wicked encompass me, every time David says, victory comes from that place. It's the place where kings, people who rule with God, are born. David was not just a physical king, he was a spiritual king. God says, I found me a man after my heart. He took the oil and told Samuel, put it on David's head. Go and read it. The moment he put the oil on David's head, he said the spirit of the Lord left Saul. An evil spirit to go. Go read it. First Samuel. The moment he says, put the oil upon David, there was a change of office. He says, the spirit left Saul, an evil spirit came on. You can rule with the kingdom of God at a young age. If you live there, if you operate from there. That's the one thing. So finally, on this area, let me show you really quickly, why this one thing is not easy for all of us. Let's open, I want you to see this. Let's open to Luke chapter 10 really quickly. It's not easy. So you'll see why many of us have this treasure ground, but we don't find time to dig, find the treasure. Luke chapter 10, I'll just read really quick from verse 38. Today is a transition day, and just a few moments. Carry us into what God is doing. Luke 10. Now, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that's Jesus, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Is your word, look at your word. I don't know what your Bible says, but study it. That word cumbered means Martha was distracted about many things. My brothers and sisters, is it a bad thing to prepare food for Jesus?
No.
But the timing is wrong. The focus was wrong. It says, Martha was cumbered about many serving and came to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Have you seen people that pray for you for God to correct you? And said to Jesus, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her, talk to her, therefore, that she come and help me. Verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Amen.
Amen.
Thou art anxious about and troubled about many things. Many things. No, he didn't say any of them is bad things. He says, but it was the one thing.
One thing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say one thing.
One thing.
If God is not enough, can you give your life to? Money. Who? Woman? Fame? That goes into the dust with you? What does God deserve of your time? He says, but one thing is needful, and Mary has found it, and that good part which she has found, nothing, none been taken away from her.
Jesus.
The biggest distraction for believers is not the devil, it's not bad things, it's good things. If it's not good, it's not deception. Anything that keeps you away from God is not worthy of anything. If you could put God and weigh God with some things and say, God, I compare you with this, you're not worthy. God gave his only son to make room in his heart. And purchased us with his blood, but only said, I will let you make the decision. You have the will. The only thing God didn't take for us is our will. Why? Because God does not impose love on himself. You have to love him from your heart. So, every time they come to Jesus, Martha and Mary's house, that's where they go. They cook, 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 cook. And the disciples eat.
Hallelujah.
But this time, something has shifted. And God wanted to share something important. And Martha carried her gift and was doing. And I noticed Mary wasn't there. Mary, you come and help me. Mary's like, please don't distract me. And then Martha got angry and came to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Don't go be praying that God change your wife. Let God change you first.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Don't complain about things to God. Complain to God about you. Because as he again went complain and said, God, you see Martha. And the Lord says, Martha has discovered something that you don't know yet. Mm-hmm. And that nobody will take away.
Amen.
It was Mary who was so sensitive before Jesus died and poured perfume upon him for his burial. Anyway, you see Martha, I said, he sits at Jesus' feet.
Mary,
thank you. Thank you. Why did I bring this up? Because one thing doesn't mean you don't do other things. You put priority where priority belongs. You can't place God with things. Daniel was the busiest administrator working from one king to the other, known for hard work. But he never played with his devotion with God. Three times a day, Satan was terrified by his lifestyle in prayer. That he made a decree, stop this man! Bring him out of this secret place. Daniel said, decree can bring me out. Nothing can bring me out of this place. It's all I have. It's God. They made their decree. They did everything. The God where he lives in proved, you can't take Daniel from me. It's all I have, Daniel. And it's all he has. God defended and kept him in that place. It's a secret place. But it's not so secret. It's the key to God's heart. I can go on and on and on, but let's transition. 1991. When I experienced this thing, I said, God, is it possible that this Bible is not just stories that are passed? Is it possible that we can still taste some of these things? And the New Testament, is it possible that truly you, Jesus, you have removed the veil. And you just want that veil taken from our heart. Is it possible we can truly experience what Paul says about sitting with you? Is it possible we can be heirs? Is it possible? These are not just scriptures. We have your blood. We can really be your children. Is it possible? After that experience, it's like God says, I cannot lie. My word has never changed. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, it will open. I made a decision that very day. I said, I will not be married. Thank God I'm married today. Amen. I made a decision. I'm not advising anybody to do it. I made some radical decisions about fasting, because he taught me that, about the word. I read this word until I was addicted to seeking God. Out of that place of seeking, you find wisdom to do things better.
Yes.
Daniel excelled in every wisdom and knowledge among the best in the world because he operated from the secret place. It doesn't mean you don't have jobs. Joseph was in that place. All these people you read about, that was what they discovered. They were not just jumping into things. You have to find that place. Use David as an example. But everyone that finds our lifestyle, discover the things that God has prepared for you that your eyes have not heard, your ears have. It is the things God already prepared you enter into. Because it's already there. When the Lord started doing that, I became possessed for God. I can't go through the stories. But why am I sharing that? I've shared many things with you in the past. In the process of, I must find this place, I must live in this place, God started setting me free from things I cannot be set free. You cannot see God and the coals of the altar not touch you. And no bondage, no self, nothing that God touches that will not cleanse you. Because you're in the presence of God. I started struggling like David. God, what must we do this? You can do this. How long? Fasting, seeking, waiting, yes, going by this. I said, God, I came to America to make a difference in my family, to do this. Now I can't pay my bill. I can't do this. I am driving a bicycle in America. And the Lord said, you never, self never enters that place. All that you're going through is, I'm destroying strongholds. I'm killing things. So that, because I don't trust flesh. I don't trust self. It's only my son's nature. Anyway, long story. One thing led to the other. I've told you all in the past. I will get to roadblocks like this. And I'm, God, I can't take this. God, I can't go any further. God, what is this? Are you deceiving me or what? I mean, I can't even do this. I can't do that. And the Lord said, okay, I will do this for you so you know where you are. I cry for money. He brings me before wealthy people. I have seen millionaires kneel. I have prayed for millionaires, and the next time they bought planes, I never took their phone number. I walked away. I have discipled rich people, had Bible studies with them. And God will say, don't ask them for a penny. Why did I do that? I just want to show you money is not my problem. I need you more than you need anything else. If you will just let me finish, these things will follow you.
That's right.
Says, seek you one thing first, and that's Him. Says, all these things that people are fighting for, you don't have to seek it. When you find your place in the kingdom, it's already been prepared to follow you. You inherit it.
That's right.
But I keep hitting roadblocks. So along the way, all through this journey, God let me meet the most famous people in America, meet the rich people, meet this. And He says, all these people now, what do you want? And He reminded me one thing. And And that one thing is God. My brothers and sisters, who is God to you? And what time of your life does he deserve? We're too busy doing things like Mary. And God says, Martha. All these things, he says, your heavenly Father knows you need it. But seek you first who he is. So many people promote the devil so much. They magnify the devil. You know, I'm not saying the devil is not there. The devil is. But the reason the devil is so prominent, we're always afraid of deception, afraid of this, because we have not entered that place. You don't defend yourself in God's presence. It's already a defense. So, all these things happen, you know, we've gone through so many testimonies. The only reason I bring these things up sometimes, I don't share testimonies. The only reason I brought it up is when you are going deeper with God, sometimes people start experiencing themselves, oh, wait a minute here. People went through that with Jesus. So John the Baptist went through it. He says, he saw the glory, then later he said, are you the one? Mm-hmm. Under pressure. Mm-hmm. Jesus then said, he says, go tell John this. Let him know the fruit that finds the tree. Just tell him. Basically, he's telling John, the fruit is how you know the tree. So when John said that, he said, okay, I see the fruit. The person that built a skyscraper is more powerful than the skyscraper. But people worship the skyscraper and trample the person who built it. That's why he came into this world in the flesh. And they trampled him. And the Bible says, by him all things were created. Everything that was created came in the flesh. And they did not know him. Because he's so deep. So as the journey continued, I finally came to a point I stopped struggling with those things. If it's not for my wife, I'll be honest with you, I can live in the heart. I can live anywhere. But as soon as I met her, I said, God, I need to show if I serve you, you take care of her. Amen. Give her the best.
Yes.
And he's been doing it. My brothers and sisters,